Chapter 17. With his trembling hands. Is there anybody near me? Is there anybody? I am afraid of this strange place. I am by your side, O leader of the brave, said Babalatchi, touching his shoulder lightly. Always by your side as in the days when we both were young. As in the time when we both went with arms in our hands. Has there been such a time, Babalatchi? Said Omer, wildly. I have forgotten. And now when I die there will be no man, no fearless man to speak of his father's bravery. There was a woman. A woman. And as he has forsaken me for an infidel dog. The hand of the compassionate is heavy on my head. Oh, my calamity. Oh, my shame. He calmed down after a while, and asked quietly, is the sunset, Babalatchi? It is now as low as the highest tree I can see from here, answered Babalatchi. It is the time of prayer, said Omer, attempting to get up. Dutifully Babalatchi helped his old chief to rise, and they walked slowly towards the hut. Omer waited outside, while Babalatchi went in, and came out directly, dragging after him the old Arab's praying carpet. Out of a brass vessel he poured the water of ablution on Omer's outstretched hands, and eased him carefully down into a kneeling posture, for the venerable robber was far too infirm to be able to stand. Then as Omer droned out the first words, and made his first bow towards the holy city, Babalatchi stepped noiselessly towards Asa, who did not move all the time. Asa looked steadily at the one-eyed sage, who was approaching her slowly, and with a great show of deference. For a moment they stood facing each other in silence. Babalatchi appeared embarrassed. With a sudden and quick gesture she caught hold of his arm, and with the other hand pointed towards the sinking red disk that glowed, rayless, through the floating mists of the evening. The third sunset. The last. And he is not here, she whispered. What have you done, man without faith? What have you done? Indeed I have kept my word, murmured Babalatchi, earnestly. This morning Bulang I went with a canoe to look for him. He is a strange man, but our friend, and shall keep close to him, and watch him without ostentation. And at the third hour of the day I have sent another canoe with four rowers. Indeed, the man you long for, O daughter of Omer, may come when he likes. But he is not here. I waited for him yesterday. Today. Tomorrow I shall go. Not alive, muttered Babalatchi to himself. And do you doubt your power, he went on in a louder tone, who that to him are more beautiful than an houri of the seventh heaven? He is your slave. A slave does run away sometimes, she said, gloomily, and then the master must go and seek him out. And do you want to live and die a beggar? Asked Babalatchi, impatiently. I care not, she exclaimed, wringing her hands. And the black pupils of her wide-open eyes darted wildly here and there like petrels before the storm. S.H. S.H. hissed Babalatchi, with a glance towards Omer. Oh you think, oh girl, that he himself would live like a beggar, even with you? He is great, she said, ardently. He despises you all. He despises you all. He is indeed a man. You know that best, muttered Babalatchi, with a fugitive smile. But remember, woman with a strong heart, that to hold him now you must be to him like the great sea, to thirsty men a never-ceasing torment, and a madness. He ceased and they stood in silence, both looking on the ground, and for a time nothing was heard above the crackling of the fire, but the intoning of Omer glorifying the god is god, and the faith is faith. Then Babalatchi cocked his head on one side, and appeared to listen intently to the hum of voices in the big courtyard. The dull noise swelled into distinct shouts, then into a great tumult of voices, dying away, recommencing, growing louder, to cease again abruptly. And in those short pauses the shrill vociferations of women rushed up, as if released, towards the quiet heaven. Asa and Babalatchi started, but the latter gripped in his turn the girl's arm, and restrained her with a strong grasp. Wait, he whispered. The little door in the heavy stockade which separated Lakamba's private ground from Omer's enclosure swung back quickly, and the noble exile appeared with disturbed mien, and a naked short sword in his hand. His turban was half unrolled, and the end trailed on the ground behind him. His jacket was open. He breathed thickly for a moment before he spoke. He came in Bulangi's boat, he said, and walked quietly till he was in my presence, when the senseless fury of white men caused him to rush upon me. I have been in great danger, went on the ambitious nobleman in an aggrieved tone. Oh, you hear that, Babalatchi? That eater of swine aimed a blow at my face with his unclean fist. He tried to rush amongst my household. 6 men are holding him now. A fresh outburst of yells stopped Lakamba's discourse. Angry voices shouted. Hold him. Beat him down. Strike at his head. Then the clamor ceased with sudden completeness, as if strangled by a mighty hand, and after a second of surprising silence the voice of Willems was heard alone, howling maledictions in Malay, in Dutch, and in English. Listen, said Lakamba, speaking with unsteady lips, he blasphemes his god. His speech is like the raving of a mad dog. Can we hold him forever? He must be killed. Fool, muttered Babalatchi, looking up at Asa, who stood with set teeth, with gleaming eyes and distended nostrils, yet obedient to the touch of his restraining hand. Tea is the third day, and I have kept my promise, he said to her, speaking very low. I remember, he added warningly like the sea to the thirsty. And now, he said aloud, releasing her and stepping back, go, fearless daughter, go. Like an arrow, rapid and silent she flew down the enclosure, and disappeared through the gate of the courtyard. Lakamba and Babalatchi looked after her. They heard the renewed tumult, the girl's clear voice calling out, let him go. Then after a pause in the din, no longer than half the human breath, the name of Asa rang in a shout loud, discordant, and piercing, which sent through the man involuntary shudder. Old Omer collapsed on his carpet and moaned feebly. Lakamba stared with gloomy contempt in the direction of the inhuman sound. But Babalatchi, forcing a smile, pushed his distinguished protector through the narrow gate in the stockade, followed him, and closed it quickly. The old woman, who had been most of the time kneeling by the fire, now rose, glanced around fearfully, and crouched hiding behind the tree. The gate of the great courtyard flew open with a great clatter before a frantic kick, and Willems darted in carrying Asa in his arms. He rushed up the enclosure like a tornado, pressing the girl to his breast, her arms round his neck, her head hanging back over his arm, her eyes closed and her long hair nearly touching the ground. They appeared for a second in the glare of the fire, then, with immense strides, he dashed up the planks and disappeared with his burden in the doorway of the big house. Inside and outside the enclosure there was silence. Omer lay supporting himself on his elbow, his terrified face with its closed eyes giving him the appearance of a man, tormented by a nightmare. What is it? Help! Help me to rise! He called out faintly. The old hag, still crouching in the shadow, stared with bleared eyes at the doorway of the big house, and took no notice of his call. He listened for a while, then his arm gave way, and, with a deep sigh of discouragement, he let himself fall on the carpet. The boughs of the tree nodded and trembled in the unsteady currents of the light wind. A leaf fluttered down slowly from some high branch and rested on the ground, immobile, as if resting forever, in the glow of the fire, but soon it stirred, then soared suddenly, and flew, spinning and turning before the breath of the perfumed breeze, driven helplessly into the dark night that had closed over the land. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.